to see the suns and wonders, and to hear the distant thunder, and to feel the molar grumble. That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the ages. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of celebration. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm cloud booming? Can't you hear the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. That's the dance of the rhythm of the ages. That's the dance of the rhythm of God. That's the dance of the rhythm of celebration. That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Say goodbye to all things past. Without the new Jerusalem. Listen to the trumpet blast. God is coming.
Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Guess what? The world will change. Now, lots of people, you know, it's kind of interesting to listen to many of people. I just heard Pat Robertson the other day. He was over there in Jerusalem, I guess, or up there. And he, you know, kind of turned the area of what's going on. And the CNN was actually interviewing him. And he was saying some pretty, you know, he's online and on many of the prophecies. But this is not that unusual, because lots of Christians, lots of pastors, especially if they're Pentecostal, like from the Assembly of God or something like that, and actually many other denominations, really do believe we're in the last days. And this event over in the Middle East, of course this will be about a month from now or something when you hear this, so who knows what it'll be like when you're actually watching this videotape, is, and possibly, the event where a peace treaty is going to be signed. The Bible doesn't give a great detail. A lot of people want to think that Antichrist is signing the peace treaty. However, the significant thing is that this process, and it's always a few days from now, so maybe in a month from now when you're watching this program, it is also still a few days off before they sign it. You know, every day you turn it on, it's a few days. Well, a few days go by, they say a few days more. So we're at one of these few days more. But they're really talking about getting the kind of an agreement with all the nations there in the UN to make this kind of a ceasefire sort of a permanent thing, kind of given a kind of thing that Israel then can live in peace. Now, there's been lots of agreements signed over there, but this particular one is a kind of a situation that we don't want nothing but something that's going to make a permanent ceasefire. So a permanent peace in the region. And countries are pretty adamant that this is what they want the outcome to be. How to get there is why they always say in a few days more. So we have a really significant, as it were, signed agreement with all these nations. Is this the one that the Bible talks about that says all the nations are going to sign, and then they will say peace, safety, then sudden destruction will come. Well, still, over there, no matter what is going to be signed, if you were really watching the picture, and a lot of Christians do watch the picture, we got some characters in the play here. Russia, Iran, Syria, Libya, Persia, Germany, which is kind of people's dissected down to actually mean, if you really talk about Gomer, it's an Eastern Germany thing, because these are actually the descendants of Noah, from traced back to there, and they later went to settle in the eastern portions of Germany. So we need to know that these people are ready. And a lot of us kind of know that Russia has an agreement signed with Iran and Libya and so forth. And all these people do actually have, Russia does indeed have bases in Libya, and they have missiles, and where they are aimed, they're aimed at where? Israel. So the players are there, ready. In the circumstances, the world doesn't like Israel. It seems like only one country is sticking by Israel, unfortunately. The leader is, how could you go for somebody like that? But a lot of you do, so who cares? But it's still the United States, is pretty much the only country that can stop anybody. And they can. If all the rest of the world want to attack Israel, probably even included China, the United States can stop all the world. I mean, we'll probably not fare that well in the process, but at least we could stop them. But you know, the Bible is talking about this person in Russia. If it's still Putin, it's Putin. If it's not, it's the next guy. And whoever they're talking about, they're going to get this idea that they can now go down and attack Israel. And you know how it is. You get an idea, you can do something. It doesn't matter what facts are. Israel's in blindness. They do not know that Jesus is the Christ. At a certain point during these last days, they're going to see whom they pierced. Then they'll know Jesus is their Messiah. But until then, the Bible says they're in blindness. On the gay issue, the church is in blindness. So it doesn't matter how many facts you can tell them. You could preach to Jewish people forever, and very few will actually come to believe that Jesus is their Messiah after all. And very few homophobic Christians, which is a lot of you, because homophobic in my definition, for the sake of this program, are those of you that just say gay is sin, and then your best way to describe it is it's in the Bible, or God hates it, or you quote a verse, or you say a verse, book, and chapter, and verse number. And that's the best you'll do. You won't explain it. You won't go out and study history. You won't study the original language. You won't present this material to, as you're speaking, to say gay is sin. This is homophobia. And when somebody comes and tells you, when the Bible uses the word sodomite, doesn't matter if Paul used the word sodomite and it's been modified a little bit, this word sodomite, both in that Greek and in all of the, there's seven places in the whole Bible, still is going to be something very, 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 very specific. It's going to be male temple prostitute. Now you don't say women is sin. If you're female, you're sin. Why? Because the Bible says hookers are sinners, or prostitution is sin. When it talks about all the female prostitutes in the Bible, you cannot redefine the word women prostitute, if you paraphrase it there, because it is talking about women prostitutes in so many places in the Bible, but you then translated it to say all women. Another definition of female prostitute is women, or womankind, all women. I know you don't do that, but you sure do with gays. Sodomite is a certain kind of prostitute. A sodomite is a male temple prostitute. This doesn't mean all gays is another word for it, because the prostitute, there's always that good chance that prostitute, that male prostitute is gay, but the clients are 99 or 100% straight, period, flat out. You're not going to get around it. You can't beat around the bush. You can't go in and say, hey, no, some gays actually came to these male temple prostitutes. You're not going to find it in history. Gays of those days didn't need to go to male temple prostitutes. Straight men did, because they get this kind of idea, you can get blessing. So they're more than happy to go to a male temple prostitute, leaving their kids and wife back home cooking dinner, and say, I'll be back. I'm going to do some business. And the wife can't complain or anything. Okay, good luck on your business. So they go to a fertility temple, select their male temple prostitute, do the little ritual that they want so that it honors that particular god, because, you know, it's a fertility temple and you're doing this sex act to these gods. And so you have sex with a male temple prostitute. You see, this is not a gay relationship. This is a relationship to a god or goddess using a prostitute of that temple. There's six places in the Bible that uses the word sodomite. I still continually, almost always, almost it's unanimous from you guys that I call a homophobe, you say that sodomite means homosexual. Often you just use the word sodomy. And sodomy is not in the Bible. The word sodomy is not in the Bible. This word was invented about 900 years ago. Why? Basically, it's because they wanted to get this thing, this strictness on sex. So anything out of the missionary position is sodomy, and so it's sin. So they invented this word. But today, so many of you think sodomy is in the Bible, when the word sodomite. When you search out the whole Bible, you cannot even see the city of Sodom calling its citizens sodomites. No matter what verse you go in the Bible, throughout the Bible, it always say the men of Sodom or the people of Sodom. But when you look up the Hebrew for the word sodomite, and you look up every other seven verses in the Bible talking about sodomite, it'll tell you it's a male temple prostitute, and it has absolutely no mention that they were anything to do with the city of Sodom. But you can go to the fertility temples. You can dig up the ruins. Paul himself, before he wrote the book of Romans, went to this famous temple in Corinth. There were over one, he turned it, you know, a tourist. I'm going to go and on a vacation, as it were, and there, you know, there's a nice set of places to visit, to tourist trap, and I'm going to go there. He might have his reason, see what it's like, learn, got to preach about something, so I'm going to go see it. You know, he may have his in mind, he's going to write about it later on, or he's just simply sort of on vacation. Paul isn't extraordinarily special to be so different from you. He was human. And you go to cities and everything. What do we like to do? We like to look. Oh, look at this. And look at that. And a lot of the stuff in the world is other gods' stuff. But they're remarkable, unbelievable, amazing buildings and so forth and so on. And so we look. It doesn't mean we go there to worship or anything like that, or to believe in their stuff. Whatever the motive of Paul was, because this is not recorded, but what is recorded is he did go to the temple. Fertility, I think Aphrodite's in Corinth. In that temple, there was 1,000 temple prostitutes. And you know, the Galatians, someplace over there, Paul wrote, and you have this statue to the unknown God. And from there, he went on to say who that God was, and that he had a son named Jesus, went on to preach the gospel. This unknown God, the statue, was in that temple that Paul toured. They had a row of temples in there, and one of them was to the unknown God, because they wanted to cover the bases. Then, after Paul visited that, toured that temple, he went down, sat down someplace, and he wrote down the book of Romans. Was it the week after, a month after? This is not too long after that, he actually went to Rome. And so Romans was already written because he sent that ahead, as it were. You can't find the word sodomite to mean homosexual. You can't. And if you're trying to use new modern version Bible that started in 1946, I think, 1948, the very first modern version was like in 1902 or something like that. And it wasn't really modernized so much from the original Church of England Bible. But then in 1946, that particular 1902 one was indeed revised into a modern English of today Bible. But all modern translations do go back to the Church of England official Bible that came out in the 1880s by Westcott and Hort. Now, these are people that really exist. So you could open up your modern version Bible and read the preface all you want, and you could believe it all you want. That's not going to change the historical fact. That don't matter who the famous translators. You know, you got lots of these famous ones that people swear by. They translated this version, that version, and the preface gives reference to them. And they might say, oh, how we go to the original. That is a lie, people. Modern versions do not go to the original language. They go to the Church of England. And any kind of references goes to the Westcott and Hort manuscripts, which they had translated from Latin Vulgate into a strange style of Greek and then back into English, which they got to become the official Church of England Bible, where all modern translations come from, having between 50,000 and 80,000 corruptions with purpose. There's more history on this corrupt text stretching back to the 2nd century. 15th century, it became the official Catholic Bible when it was discovered, because it wasn't used that first part up until the 15th century. Received text, which is now the King James, was used, and King James came along so popular, all the other received texts disappeared. You have two types of choices, King James Bible or all modern versions. There into one. Those are your choices. All modern versions can be labeled Satan counterfeit Bible. Satan's a counterfeiter. Some of you will argue, God protect his word. Yes, he did. There it is, King James Bible. Satan counterfeits everything Jesus, everything God. He's the greatest counterfeiter ever. You've got counterfeit Bibles in your hand and you love them. You can't find pastors anymore that goes back to the King James, hardly. There's groups out there that simply ban the King James Version because they have proven that King James was gay. Used to be it was sort of acceptable because he was just a transvestite. But at least he was straight. That's how it used to be. But nowadays, they know for sure that he was gay. And so many big-time ministers would love you not to read the King James Version. And now you're hard-pressed to find pastors using it. I sure hope that somehow or another, no matter what I talk about on this program, is that you just take some time and look into Westcott Hort, find out where your Bibles came from. In the process of the study in Westcott and Hort, you'll find detailed history stretching back to when the two sets of Latin Vulgate were translated in the second century, and then trace them throughout until you have your modern version in your hand today. If you come out here just to understand Satan's a counterfeiter, are we on the verge of this sudden destruction? Antichrist has a certain number of days that he could be publicly ruler of the earth as it was. And that's 1290 days. There is one arch fact. The tribulation is 7 years. At the end of 7 years, ain't going to be anybody going into the thousand-year reign with Jesus that has anything to do with Antichrist. Only people going into the thousand-year reign are going to be, as it were, Christians that came to God after the rapture. Because you have 3.5 years there of people that will be walking into the kingdom of God on earth, where Jesus reigns as King of earth. 7 years is the tribulation, and there is something that is really, if you could get this into your head, you'll have at least a starting point to understand what you've got to see before Jesus returns, instead of listen to your pastor say, if Jesus were to come tonight, if the rapture was to happen tonight, are you ready? As though that if you are not ready in the rapture, you would be left behind. This is just something that will not happen. Cannot happen. Events, significant events, have to take place before that. If a pastor uses any kind of terminology to try to get somebody saved by saying this cliche thing, if Jesus comes tonight, Jesus isn't coming tonight. You're going to wake up tomorrow, because there's certain things in the world that haven't happened, and there's a certain amount of time that has to go by before they will happen. And or they take this long to get done. Antichrist has 1290 days. You could go to the end of the tribulation, since you don't know what time that is now, you don't know for sure when that is, but you go to the end, and then you work forward 1290 days. That goes over half the tribulation by 30 days. So the first half of the tribulation, Satan uses his man Antichrist to become dictator of the world. Now, the two witnesses have 1260 days. This starts at the beginning of the trib. This is when you could start to actually calculate time periods, because they're going to do something. They're going to say to the water, water, stop. Rain no more. This will feel like to you as though the comforter came out of you. The water. This water makes you feel saved. So once the water stops, you will not feel saved. You will feel like Jesus forsake you. When the two witnesses say to the water, that's going to affect every Christian on earth, because they will think Jesus turned from them. He won't. He didn't. You'll just feel like he did. The 1260 days there are to spank the church, to get them in order, to literally wash them in the blood. You will hate the two witnesses, for they will strike you with plagues because of disobedience of the church for 2,000 years. You shouldn't be worried about being punished, as it were, for 2,000 years of church sin when your sins are even worse for the things that you give your consent to. So the two witnesses will cross over Antichrist time by 30 days, because they will go all the way to the mid-trib, and So Antichrist would take 30 days to kill them. When the 30 days is up and they're killed, it's a very good likelihood that as they rise, because they're the last that needed to die, all the dead in Christ rises. So you have that massive rising of the dead at that time. Now it can be as much as 75 days longer before the rapture takes place. So these 75 days are the days that you will never know the time. I think if we take up most of those 70, you'd probably go nearly 75 days after the mid-trib. There won't be a mid-trib rapture. There'll be an after, you know, a month and a half or so after, 2.5 months after the tribulation. So get ready, people. You're going to go through something. Get ready to study. I'm out of time. If you don't know Christ, turn to Him. Say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God, that God rose You on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Simple prayer will get you saved. Now read the King James, buddy. Get ready. Are we in those last days? See you next week. Rumble. That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the angels. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of celebration. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm clouds booming? Can't you hear the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. That's the dance of the rhythm of the angels. That's the dance of the rhythm of God. That's the dance of the rhythm of celebration. That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Say goodbye to all things past. Without the news, the roof above. Let the things that once have